Okay, we are recording now. So today is August 14th, 2020. I'm here via Zoom with Ida Shepherd, who's at her home in North Portland.
Northeast.
Northeast, that's right. I'm at my home in North Portland. You're in Northeast Portland, in Albina neighborhood. So this is our first interview. And my name's Greta Smith Wisniewski. I'm an oral historian for the Oregon Historical Society. So good afternoon, Ida, and thanks for joining me here today.
Good afternoon to you.
All right. Can you tell me your full name?
My name is Ida Mae Shepherd.
All right.
My maiden name is Ida Mae Gross.
So when and where were you born?
I was born in Portland, Oregon, March 12th. 1929.
So let's start by hearing about your family history, starting with your mother's side. Can you tell us about your maternal great-grandparents, beginning with their names, where and when they were born?
That's my mother's?
Yeah, your mother's. Yeah. Or no, I'm sorry, your mother's great-grandparents. That would be Thomas R. Goodell.
Oh. What about him?
Well, you told me some things about him and your maternal.
Thomas R. Goodell is my grandmother's father.
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to hear about, you had told me some stuff about him in your pre-interview that I thought might be important to include in your oral history, about where he is from. Let's start with that. Where was Thomas R. Goodell from?
Oh, that's a good question. I have to look.
I have it here in my notes. If you want any help, let me know.
You have it?
I do, yeah. So,
what does it say?
It says that he moved to Oregon from Illinois, that he was born in Illinois.
All right.
He was actually born in Springfield, Illinois, in 1845. And I remember that you did in your family research talk about how he was, what he did for a living. Do you remember what he did for a living?
Well, he was a so-called preacher, but I don't know what else he did for a living. He was like a fire and brimstone type preacher.
Do you remember hearing stories about him growing up?
No, my grandmother never talked about him that much. She never talked about her father and mother.
What was your grandmother's mother's name?
It was Ella. Her name was Ella.
And where did Ella and Thomas live?
Well, they lived in Shampooig, Oregon, which was later destroyed by a flood.
Right.
Because Ella was from there, and Thomas came out to Shampooig, Oregon. And they met and were married.
Do you know why Thomas moved from Illinois to Shampooig?
No, I don't. Like I said, my mother and grandmother never talked that much about him. So I don't know why they did.
Did you ever hear? Go ahead.
Well, there was other relatives that lived in Shampooig, so that's a possibility that that's why he moved there, because he had other relatives there.
And what race were Thomas and Ella?
What?
What race were Thomas and Ella?
They were white.
Did you ever hear stories about the flood in Shampooig?
No, I never did. My grandmother never talked about it. I knew about it, but she never talked about it. And being young at that time, you don't think about asking questions, you know, until it's too late when you think, well, they're gone, and you can't ask some questions because they're not, they've died, you know?
So true. So tell us about your grandmother, Edith Goodell, starting with where and when she was born.
Oh. I've written down here somewhere. What did I do? Oh, for heaven's sake, everything's falling down on the floor.
Oh, take your time, Ida. It's fine.
She was born in 1875, September 25th, in Champaig, Oregon. And she died in April of 1954.
So I understand that there's some interesting stories about Edith. Can you tell me some of those? Maybe starting with talking about her husbands?
Well, she was married three times, twice to a black man, and the last time she married a Chinese man. Their first husband was Dr. Cromwell, and he was an herb doctor and practiced herbs on people. And my grandmother worked together in their house. They call it like a sanitarium. And they took people in to try to cure them of things that they had with herbs. And then she married my grandfather, who I did never know. His name was John W. Smith, and he was also the pastor of Mount Olivet African Methodist Church at 7th and Everett. But this church is not the Mount Olivet that is now, because that was started in 1907, and my grandfather was already preaching before then. So that church, I don't know what happened to it after he left town or whatever. So that's all I know about. I never did get to meet my grandfather, and him and my grandmother were having an affair under her husband, my grandmother's husband's nose, and he objected to it. They were divorced, and my grandmother married my grandfather, and Dr. Cromwell, her first husband, said that that wasn't legal because the time had not run out. Back then, they had a time limit when your divorce was final, just like they do now. So he said the divorce was final, and he had the sheriff, the police after my grandfather. He skipped out and went to California, but evidently he came back because my mother was born. They were married in 1907, and my mother was born in 1909, so they had to get back together some way in order for my mother to be born. So, like I said, I never got to see him.
Well, so let's back up a little bit and talk about Mr. Cromwell. I know that is the husband that your grandmother was with prior to getting together with your grandfather, Mr. Smith. But right. So Dr. Cromwell, I know that you let me take pictures of some of the newspaper articles you had. Right. And he was a pretty well-reputed physician, is that correct?
Right. Herb doctor, yeah.
And he was black, right?
Yes, he was.
And so where did your grandmother and Mr. Cromwell get married? Do you know? Was that in Oregon?
No, they got married in Washington.
Okay. And then, so you mentioned that they had kind of, they ran a sanitarium together.
Yes, they did.
And so can you tell us about how your grandmother and Mr. Smith got together? There's kind of, I believe there's a story there.
Well, my grandfather was a preacher at that church that I spoke of. And my grandmother and her husband Dr. Cromwell went to that church. And then I guess he moved in with them, my grandfather, and he started, him and my grandmother started fooling around. And the next thing you know, they were, Dr. Cromwell was ready to kick him out because they were having an affair under his nose. So that's what happened there.
I see. And do you know where your grandmother and Mr. Smith went after Mr. Cromwell kicked them out of the sanitarium?
I don't know where they live, but they got married. They were married, and I guess I don't know when she married my grandfather that I knew, Harry Lee, the Chinese grandfather. And I don't know, you know, when they were divorced.
So I also want to know, where was this? What I know that this was in Oregon, but where in Oregon was the sanitarium and your grandmother?
Well, I'm not really sure. It was in Portland, I know that, but as far as knowing where, it says that he also had charges against him for prescribing medicine that was too expensive. And then he was also on charges of trying to heal a man who had cancer on the back of his neck, and the man died. But he never was served any time or anything for that.
And this is Dr. Cromwell?
Yes.
You don't happen to know the name of the sanitarium, do you?
No, I don't know what it was called. I just know they said it was a sanitarium. Because this says, Dr. Paul Cromwell, the colored specialist, will now give people a chance to get well. All persons residing in the city, treatment by week, $5 to stay at the sanitarium, $2 per day. Persons of moderate means will like to take advantage of this offer for 1 month only. 171 Green Avenue, take Washington and 23rd Street car. How to get there. Well, the streets were different. They had streets, different streets that don't exist now.
That's true. It would be interesting to figure out what that street is today and see where that sanitarium was.
Right.
Can you read that address again?
It's, I just had it.
Oh, that's okay.
171 Green Avenue. It says take Washington and 23rd Street car.
Okay.
So must. But he was brought up on charges of trying to cure this man that had a cancer on the back of his neck. But he never did, like I said, serve any time for it.
And I know you said your grandmother didn't really tell you very many stories about these people, but do you happen to remember hearing maybe from your mom or anybody about stories about her father?
No, because my mother was born in 1909, and that was 2 years after my grandfather and grandmother were married, and I don't think, she never did talk too much about anything. She just said that my mother was a lot darker than her brothers. Because Dr. Cromwell, they had two sons. Well, they had three sons, but one died by this marriage. Whenever she had people come, she would bring them out, and not my mother, because my mother was a lot darker at that time. She turned lighter when she got older. But at that time, she said that my grandmother always kept her in the background.
Because her father, J.W. Smith, he was
black. I don't know what he looked like. I don't know whether he was real dark or light skin or what. but I know Dr. Cromwell was light skinned. There was a picture of him that Grandma had out in the, they had a woodshed in the back of the house where they lived. And I wish when my grandfather died, when my mother got rid of all that stuff, and I wish I had saved that picture of Dr. Cromwell. But he was a light skinned black man.
Okay.
So he obviously was mixed with white. I would say that he, one of his parents might have been white.
So you said that your grandmother had three sons by Dr. Cromwell.
Right.
One of whom passed away. And then she had your mother with J.W. Smith.
Right. And she didn't have any children. Well, she supposedly had a child by my Chinese grandfather, a girl that died. But it doesn't mention that. But I read that somewhere that they had a child, but it died.
Well, let's hear about your grandmother's third husband, Harry Lee.
Yes. He was from China. And he was in San Francisco during the earthquake. And my grandmother and her sister, Goldie, they went down there, and I guess that's how she met him. Because there's a picture of them standing in a touring car down in San Francisco. So I'm sure that's, you know, where she met Grandpa, and then he came up here. His uncle brought him over from China, and his uncle hung himself. My grandfather found it. And I don't know if that's when he came to Oregon after that or what, but anyway. And he worked, when he came to Oregon, he worked as a chef in one of the hotels downtown. He's the only grandfather I knew growing up.
What sorts of things do you remember about Harry Lee?
What do I remember about him? Well, he was really a good person. He allowed Grandma, even though we weren't his, you know, real grandchildren, he allowed her to do things for us and everything, spend money on us, and do things, you know, that maybe some other person maybe wouldn't do. You know, he was a really a good grandfather. Yeah, he was ostracized from his Chinese friends because of the fact that he married a white woman. So he would go down, he had a garden and he grew Chinese greens, and he would take them downtown and sell them to make extra money. And he would, sometime we'd pass by on the bus, you know, he'd be sitting in the hotel window reading the Chinese papers. So. But he was a really good grandfather. Right up to the end.
I know that you did a lot of research on your family, and you found some things about Harry Lee. It sounds like after he passed away, when you were doing that research, can you talk about, or would you like to talk about some of those things?
Well, I guess in his younger years, he belonged to a thong. There's like a gang like we have nowadays. And he also was active in a lottery, the Chinese lottery, which was illegal at that time. Because there's an article telling about how they busted into this particular place and he was there along with other people. And I never knew anything about all this because, you know, Grandma and Grandpa never talked about any of that. So I didn't know until I started research and found out that he had a past.
He sure did.
Yeah. Just to look at him, when I knew him, he was just a really sweet man that never talked too much, never said too much. He had some Chinese books that he used to read all the time, and he'd read them. And he had some Chinese records that he would play. We liked to listen to one particular one. And we couldn't understand what they were saying, but my sister and I, we had an old Victrola wind-up phonograph, which I had now, because that's worth a lot of money. But anyway, We used to listen to some of his Chinese music when he played it. He liked Westerns. He liked Western movies. I remember one time we took him to see Destry Rides Again with Marlene Dietrich and James Stewart. And we couldn't get him out of the movie. He wanted to stay and watch it. We said, Grandpa, we want to go home. We're hungry. But he wanted to stay and watch it over again. He liked Westerns because when I was married to Amy's father, he used to come up and watch The Lone Ranger, because that was back when the TV first started, and he'd come up and watch The Lone Ranger on the TV.
And what did Harry Lee do for a living?
Well, he was a chef. But then when I knew him, he was retired from that. And him and my mother and my sister, they worked in the shipyard during the shipyard time. But other than that, after he retired from, after the shipyard was over, then he just, like I said, he would grow his little greens, Chinese greens and stuff, and take them downtown and sell them for extra money. He liked to do the gardening. He liked to do the vegetables, and Grandma liked to do the flowers. And he was the cook. He did all the cooking, except she did the bacon, like bacon cakes and pies. She was good at that. But he did the main cooking.
And what did your grandmother do for a living?
She didn't do anything. I mean, other than when she was working with Dr. Crum at the cemetery. She didn't do anything after that. She just was a housewife.
And where did your grandmother and Harry Lee live?
They lived in North Albina. Albina and Page. And right across the street was the Medley Hotel, where the porters and the waiters used to come and stay. It was a black hotel for black people that worked on the railroad, and they lived right across the street from that.
I'm trying.
My dad, whenever we'd go visit my grandmother, he would always go over and play pool over there.
He'd go play pool at the Medley Hotel?
Yeah, because he wasn't much for visiting. He would go over there while we visited my grandmother and grandfather.
Did you ever go over there?
The hotel? No. No, I never did.
I wonder what's there now. I imagine that hotel isn't there anymore.
No, I believe it's a vacant lot, I think. I can't remember. I don't think there's anything there.
And you said that was at Albina and Page?
Yeah. Well, actually, it was on the entrance face interstate. Side street was Albina, on the cross street page.
And I know that there's a story about your grandmother's sister, who I believe you called Aunt Goldie.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Well, I guess there was this man called Harry Toy, and he was a friend of the family. And he, along with my grandmother, talked her into going up to into Washington with him. And he put her in a house of prostitution, where she wound up getting venereal disease, which I'm sure must have been, what's the one that you can't cure?
Maybe syphilis?
Syphilis. Yeah, I'm sure that's what she had. And my grandmother took care of her as long as she could for her. And then when she couldn't take care of her anymore, she went to what they call the poor farm. That's where she died. She was very talented with making things like embroidery and things like that. She made us some dolls, rag dolls that were pretty good size. Mary Lou and Betty Jane, we called them. And she made everything imaginable for them. They even had stockings and garter belts and raincoats and everything. She was very talented. She taught me how to embroider, my sister and I, how to embroider. But she was had to be carried downstairs. She stayed upstairs, and she had to be carried down every day because she couldn't walk. So I'm sure that's what she had, and that was his fault that he took her up there. But it was my grandmother was partly responsible too, according to the article, because she convinced her to go up there. And then they had a hard time getting her back down here because he tried to threaten her with the tongs, saying he was going to do something to her if she tried to leave. But eventually they did get her back to Portland to get her help, health-wise. But my grandfather, my great-grandfather, he was like fire and brimstone preacher, which my grandmother never told me that he was a preacher. But in the articles, that's what he was. And he was went up there and by trying to get his daughter back, Harry Toy. And then according to Harry Toy, belonged to a Tong, and he was involved in the shooting, but they claimed that he was guilty, but he was proven innocent. And then he came to Portland, according to one article, though it said he killed himself. But that's not true, because he knew him as Uncle Toy. And after reading all this about him doing that to my aunt, Goldie, I was surprised that he was around the family, but he was, because he was responsible for her being in that brothel, that's what they called it, and we used to call him Uncle Toy. Of course, we didn't know anything about that, but he was involved in the Tong, and also my grandfather, Harry Lee. He said he was said to be a member of the Hip Sing Tong.
So, did Harry Lee know Harry Toy, or was this before your grandma?
No, they knew each other. They were friends.
So then, just so that I've got, make sure I'm understanding the story, it sounds like your Aunt Goldie was sort of taken to a brothel by this Chinese man, Harry Toy, and your grandmother, Edith. And then she got syphilis, and then your great-grandfather, Thomas, he went and was able to get her out of there, but she was pretty much infirm for the rest of her life because of the syphilis.
Yeah, she was... couldn't do anything, you know, she had to be carried around and waited on because she couldn't walk or anything. That's, I remember that as a child. But of course, we knew she was sick, but we didn't know what was wrong with her. You know, they didn't tell us.
Yeah. And then I'm looking at my notes from our pre-interview, and I see that Harry Toy actually worked for a while in your grandmother's house.
Yes.
When she was married to Dr. Cromwell.
Yeah, it says that. And it also mentions that he married another one of the sisters, which I don't see any record of her name in the Goodells. That he married in one of her sisters.
One of your grandmother's sisters?
Right.
But not Aunt Goldie.
Right, not Goldie, no. He didn't marry her. But he was got in trouble for a killing up there in Washington. He was very active in the Tong.
Do you know what he did when you knew him in Portland, Harry Toy? Was he working or?
I don't know what he did for a living. I don't know if he worked, you know, in the restaurant thing or not. I don't know. I just knew he was a friend of Grandma and Grandpa.
So What are some memories you have of your grandmother?
Of my grandmother?
Yeah.
Exactly what are you talking about?
Well, it could be something as simple as what did she look like, or things that you did with her.
Oh, I didn't do too much with her, and I didn't get along too well. We didn't get along too well till I married Amy's father, and she liked him because he was light-skinned, and she liked him. But she, even though she married two black men, she was always trying to tell my sister that she was white, and I said, how can she be white when she has two black parents? So her and I didn't really get along. But I try to take care of her when she was sick and stuff and do for her. I didn't, even though we didn't get along. Just rubbed each other the wrong way. Because she was constantly trying to get my sister to either marry a white man or a Chinese man or something. She didn't like my sister's boyfriends. My sister seemed like she would pick the darkest person for her boyfriend, but she didn't like her.
Yeah. That must have been difficult to have a grandmother that was treating y'all that way.
Yeah, it seems funny that she's prejudiced in one way, but she married two black men. That doesn't even make sense. And that was unheard of back then, you know, for somebody white to marry a black person.
Yeah, I was thinking it was pretty uncommon for people to have interracial marriages in Oregon back then, especially. And I was wondering, did your grandmother or any of her husbands ever encounter any racist attitudes that you know of?
Because did they ever what?
Encounter any racist attitudes that you know of because of their
being... Well, I don't know. She never said, but I'm sure she did. I'm sure they did. Wherever they went. Of course, he was light-skinned, but still, he was black. Yeah. And I'm like I said, my grandfather, I don't know what he looked like, whether he was dark or light or what. Now, my two uncles, they were light. Both of them passed. My one uncle, his name was Uriel, but he changed his name to Richard, and he married a white woman, and she had a daughter, and they moved to California, and he passed himself off as white. And my other uncle, he didn't try to pass himself off as white. Uncle Paul was really a sweet person. He just was Uncle Paul. He didn't say, you know, try to say he was white or nothing like that. But both of them, you know, could pass. Uncle Paul could pass for maybe Mexican or something because he had straight black hair. And he didn't have kinky hair like a black person, or neither one of them did. But my uncle, up till the day he died, he passed himself off as white.
Was he in communication with your family after he moved to California?
Well, he was somewhat. When his mother died, he came up and he bought a cemetery plot for a double plot, so that way we had a place to bury Grandpa Lee when he died. But he didn't stay for the funeral, and then he went back to California. And then we just heard from him occasionally.
And your Uncle Paul, where did he live?
He lived in San Francisco.
So your mother, can you talk a bit about your mother? Her name was also Ida, correct?
Yes. Yeah. She named me Ida Mae because my grandmother, my dad's mother, her name was Ida. And my grandmother, Edith, her sister's name was Ida. So she named me Ida Mae, gave me a middle name to be different. But my mother... met my dad and married him, and then she had us, the two of us, but she always wanted more children. And then in later years, after my parents were divorced, she married a man that had four children, and the youngest was two and the oldest was nine. It was three boys and a girl.
Wow.
She raised them. She always wanted more children. And she worked in the shipyard, like I said, her and my grandfather and my sister. And then she also worked and worked as waitress in a restaurant. But back then, when we were growing up, you know, most mothers didn't work. They stayed at home and they were housewives. It wasn't until later on that in life that, you know, women started getting out there and, you know, working at jobs and earning a living. But my mother was married three different times. She married my father and they divorced, and then she married another man from Oklahoma who was crazy. She divorced him in a hurry, and then she married Oscar Johnson. And they were married till her death.
Was Oscar the one that had, did you say four children?
Yeah, he was the one. His wife had died from TB. At that time, they didn't know, you know, back then, they didn't know too much about curing TB like they do now.
And I should ask, where and when was your mother born?
Where was who?
Your mother born? Where and when was she born?
She was born in Portland, Oregon, February 25th, 1909.
Right, that's right, because that's when J.W. Smith. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, so that's the last, I guess that's the last of him. When she was born, after that, didn't see nothing more about him. I don't know. Because they married in 1907, and then 1909, my mother was born, like I said. Even though he was chased off by Dr. Cromwell and he ran to California, he wound up coming back because my mother was born, so they wound up getting back together.
Do you know where your mother went to school, starting with elementary school?
No, I know. She just went to elementary school. She didn't go to high school. I know that, but I don't know what school she went to. She never said, and I never thought to ask her either.
Do you know how old she was when she got married for the first time?
I think she was 18.
And what was her first husband's name?
William Gross.
And that was your father?
Yes.
What do you remember about your father?
Well, he was strict with us. He always... when we were at the table, we couldn't talk. When we were during the table, we won't speak, but not only when you're spoken to. We made sure we could keep our shoes clean, ourselves clean. And he worked as a shoe shine in a barbershop. He shined shoes for a living. Back then, that wasn't, you know, they didn't. There weren't too many jobs that blacks could do. They had that, and then they worked at Sky Caps at the airport, and also worked down to this train station too, Red Caps. But he did that. Then and later on, after my parents divorced, before they divorced, he became a aircraft porter on the train, and that I don't know why he. With that, and he wound up down in California, Berkeley, with this lady that he stayed with for a long time. And I don't know what he did when he was working and living in California, but when he moved to New York, he was that's where he lived, Berkeley, New York. He worked for a company that made, you know, the pens that you buy, like if you were at a company and you wanted the name put on the pen, you know, and you to give out. That's where he worked for a company like that. And then he also worked for Palmolive Peat Company, that's the Colgate Palmolive Peat. It's, you know, Colgate toothpaste and Palmolive soap and all that. He also worked there during the time he was in Brooklyn, New York. He was married to another lady. Her name was Ida. Ida Edna. Couldn't get away from them Idas. Yeah. But he died in Brooklyn, New York. And my grandmother, she came up there. She lived in Birmingham, Alabama, his mother. And she had got burned herself real bad. And so he brought her to live with him because he could watch over her. And she died there in Brooklyn, New York.
So your father was from Birmingham, right?
Yeah, he was born in Birmingham, Alabama.
Do you know what brought him to Oregon?
I don't know. He was not he didn't have a lot of education. He didn't finish the eighth grade, but he was a very intelligent man. He because I have a a census that shows where that he was here in Portland, and he was only 16 years old. So he lived down there a long time ago. I mean, long before my parents were married. I don't know what he did when he doesn't say what he was doing, but he was a lodger in somebody's home. He was 16 years old, but I do know that he didn't have a lot of education.
Yeah, that's young to leave home, 16.
Yeah. And then his brother, he came up here, both of his brothers, Manuel and Ted. Ted died before I was born, and he's buried in that historical cemetery there by that high school boys. Used to be boys, but it's Catholic high school. Central Catholic, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a cemetery right there, and that's where he's buried. I've been meaning to go look for his grave, but I haven't gotten around from that.
Do you know how he died?
Anyway, and then my Uncle Manuel, he died. My mother, when I was married, I was married three different times, but my second husband, when we were married, my first husband died. Then my mother died, and my uncle, my dad's brother, died in a row. So that was kind of a up there.
Yeah.
My mother had the blocked artery back then. They didn't know anything about clearing the artery like they do now, having angioplasty. So she died. She had a major heart attack and died.
Oh, yeah. She died in 1960.
Right.
You see. Yeah.
Yeah, she was working at a janitorial company at KGW, and had the heart attack when she was at work. Then they took her to the hospital, and she passed on. She had another heart attack and died.
So how long were your parents married before they got a divorce?
My parents? I think I was about 14 when they divorced. 13 or 14, right when World War II started. What was that, 1941? Yeah. I remember we were still there. We lived on Union Avenue. It's Martin Luther King now, but we lived on Union Avenue, right there in the corner. And I remember it coming on the radio about the Pearl Harbor. Of course, that didn't really mean too much to us kids, you know. But then my parents separated and divorced.
What do you remember your parents saying about the war?
Do I remember what?
What do you remember your parents saying about the war?
Nothing that I remember. Nothing. don't remember them saying anything about the war.
And you said that you lived on the corner of Union Avenue. Do you remember the cross street?
Thompson.
So Union.
Union and Thompson, right on the corner, 2153 Northeast Union Avenue. Union and Thompson.
Do you know if the house is still there?
Oh, no, they tore those houses down a long time ago.
What do you remember about family life growing up before your parents got divorced?
What do I remember about what?
Family life growing up.
Oh, my father going back and forth to work. My mother, she's a housewife. She used to do the cooking and everything. And then we went to, after we became Catholic, we went to Catholic school. And she would belong to the, what they called the Mother's Club. And she would come to the meetings. And then when we had special thing where we, she would make cakes and all the kids were looking forward to her. She made cakes from scratch. She made really good cakes. They always look forward to her. But she did, other than that, she didn't do much, of, you know, other than being a housewife. My dad, he'd go to, when the streetcar used to run down Union Avenue, we'd always wait for him to get off the streetcar right there by our house. But my mother was a good cook, and she wound up being, well, I think now what it was, when I think back, I think she had the gout. She got it in her knee, and she couldn't walk, and it was very painful and red, and I think it was the gout. Mostly men get gout. It's unusual for women to, but anyway, I think that's what she had. And I think my grandfather had that too, my Chinese grandfather, in his foot. But anyway, my dad had to bring her down in the morning and then take her back upstairs at night. She took this, what you call red prescription for it, some medicine that my grandmother had advised her to take. And she was, my grandmother was very strong on us taking herbs, still taking herbs. She was still thinking about them herbs. She had different herbs for different things.
What kind of herbs did she like to use for different things?
Well, I don't know. At that time, Matthew's Drugstore in the corner of Ressa and Williams Avenue, you could go there and get herbs, and she would send us there for different kind of herbs, but I don't remember what they were. And they would, and then she'd make different stuff, like she made what she called fever medicine. We had a fever, and she had different kind of medicines for different things. She's still stuck with that herb thing.
And you mentioned the drugstore. What was that like? I've seen pictures of the outside, but can you sort of describe that drugstore for me?
Well, the top of the drugstore is over there in Dawson Park. That gazebo, that's part of that drugstore. That we used to go there for all everything, that drugstore. It was a nice drugstore, family drugstore. And like I said, we used to go there for all their everything we needed. There was another one up on Union Avenue, but mostly we went to that one.
What kinds of things could you get there?
Well, they had a little bit of everything. I don't exactly remember what they did yet, but you know, they had all kinds of stuff. Magazines and, you know, candy and different stuff.
Was there like a social gathering aspect to it, or what was the sort of atmosphere like inside?
Well, no, it wasn't a place for social gathering, because they had citizens across the street, which was fountain lunch place, and across another place was a Chinese kitchen, a Chinese restaurant. And then there's Paul's Paradise and all those different places, Who's Men's Shop and all these different places along there. So people gather at the restaurant and at the fountain lunch.
Did you ever go to Paul's Paradise?
Yeah, when I was older. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was a nightclub, and I wasn't a drinking person. I drank, you know, soda or something, just a place where people are gathered, you know, listen to music and talk and whatever. They had a lot of different places. At Paul's Paradise, they had the Gay Paree. There's right now there's Gay Paree was on the corner of Vancouver and Russell. It's a restaurant now. It used to be the Gay Paree. And then they had the Fraternal Hall. That was the place where the men that worked on the railroad went, and they supposedly kept their bottle there. So that when they wanted to go drink, they go there. And they had the Keystone, which again was a gambling place. There was a lot of different places where people hung out. Just depending on what you wanted to do. I wasn't too much on going. And then they had the, what happened here?
I can still see you.
I can't see you though. I did something wrong. What I need to do.
Let's see, what does your screen look like right now, Ida?
Wait a minute. There we go.
Are we back?
There we go. I'm like, my daughter says I should leave the mouse alone.
I know.
Pull around the mouse, I hit the wrong thing. Anyway.
Well, you did a good job of recovering it.
Yeah, well, I wasn't much on going out too much. We like to go to this one place. I can't think of the name of it right now, but they used to have entertainers come there. And I remember this one Sir Lady Java was a man, but he dressed up as a woman. And even the men thought he was a woman because he pulled it off so good. He was a great entertainer. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Probably not.
What was their name again?
His name was Sir Lady Java.
Sir Lady Java.
Yeah.
And where was this place that you used to go see them?
I'm trying to think of the name of it. I have a hard time remembering names.
What about the location?
It was on Williams Avenue, I think. Yeah, I can't think of the name of it. I'll mention it. I'll think of it. But we used to go there for entertainment, and we did our church. We did a fashion show from there too. It was used for a lot of different things, birthday parties.
About what years were you going there?
I don't know. I can't really tell the truth. Because then we also went to the, the other place there. It's still there. It's like association, men's, can't think of the name of it, maybe I.
Are you thinking of the Billy Webb Elks Lodge?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, we used to go there and we had parties and stuff, birthday parties and have dances and different things. We would go there. It's another place we would use to socialize.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I remember we celebrated my daughter's birthday, Amy, and my son, Michael, who's passed on, and his wife. They all were born in November, and we had a birthday party there for them. Had a lot of fun. And then, like I said, we had a fashion show there for our church. I don't know that they have too much stuff going on there now. I see cars there, so people still go there, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
The guy that worked at the funeral home across the street, Cox's Funeral Home, he used to work there too, all in his off time. Yeah, he was
one of the ones who took care of the bodies. Yeah. Yeah. George Quaker was his name.
George Walker?
George Quaker.
Quaker?
Quaker, yeah.
Okay. Well, Ida, we're at about an hour. How are you feeling? Do you want to keep going for a little while?
Yeah, I can keep going. I'm fine.
Okay, we'll go for, I'll ask you a few more questions. So we were just talking about sort of family life before your parents got divorced. And you said they got divorced when you were about 14. So
yeah, about 13 or 14, yeah.
Can you tell me about life after your parents got divorced? Like, where did you and your sister go? What did your parents?
Oh, we moved in with my grandmother. That's where we went. Because we were just renting that house. And we moved in with my grandmother and stayed there until my mother remarried. And then she met this guy in the shipyard. And that didn't last long, like I said.
So what was it? Can you tell me what it was like living at your grandmother's house?
It was okay. Like I said, Grandpa welcomed us. He let us, you know, he whatever Grandma wanted to do, he let us stay there. And he didn't, you know, never object to it. And we stayed there. And eventually my mother got a job working in the shipyard, her and Grandpa and my sister.
Her and Harry Lee and your older sister got jobs working in the shipyard?
Yeah, they worked in the shipyard. My sister and my mother got fired because they refused to go down in this hole. I don't know, for some reason, I guess they were scared to go down there. And they wouldn't go down in there, and so they got fired.
Wow.
That was the Oregon shipyard.
And so did... When your mother was working at the shipyards and your sister, were they still living at your grandmother's house, or did y'all move into Vanport?
No, we were living in my grandma's house. When my mother remarried, well, we moved to Vanport. That was when Vanport first started, and it was still in the process of being built. They had muddy roads. And you had to walk up to Canton to take the bus because there was no Vanport bus, or you could take the Vancouver bus, which happened to pass by there at that time. And I lived there with my sister, stayed with Grandma. She was a grandma's girl. She stayed there, Grandma and Grandpa, and I stayed with my mom. And like I said, eventually my mother divorced him because he was crazy.
Oh, was this?
He was had a lot of Indian in him, and he couldn't drink, and he'd drink, and then he'd go berserk. All kind of crazy stuff.
What was his name?
Alonzo Jefferson.
About how long were they married for?
How long were they married? About a couple of years, maybe not that long.
What did you think? So you had been, your grandmother lived over by Albina, right?
Right.
And so in moving to Vanport, what was that like for you?
Oh, it was okay. It was okay living in Vanport, because then later on when my mother married Oscar Johnson, that's where we lived, in Vanport. And my sister, like I said, she stayed with Grandma and Grandpa. She was Grandma's girl. And I lived there in Vanport with my mother, my stepdad, and my stepbrothers and sisters. And I met my first boyfriend when I was 17, and we used to do a lot of things in Vanport. Yeah.
Before we get to that part, going back to when your mom was married to Alonzo, I imagine living in Albina, you're talking about sort of the social aspect of it, like going to these community places and seeing your friends and stuff. Did you have a hard time being removed from that when you lived in Vanport, or did
you meet new friends? No, because I really didn't do a lot of socializing with people, you know.
I don't know, because my dad, he had always been real strict about us. You know, even when we were growing up, you know, we wanted to go to somebody's house, he would ask us all kind of questions, and then he said we couldn't go there after all that. He was very strict. So I got used to not going, doing a lot of stuff. With my sister and I, we used to go to the movies a lot. Only cost a quarter to go to the movies then. We'd go to the movies.
Where was the movie theater?
Huh?
Where was the movie theater?
I can't hear you.
Oh, where was the movie theater that y'all went to?
We went to the Egyptian Theater on MLK, which is now the New Song Church. And we also went to one up on the Mississippi called the Rio Theater, and also the Walnut Park up on MLK, which was Union Avenue at that time. We mostly went to the Rio Theater and the Egyptian. It was only 25 cents for us to go to the movie. That sounds ridiculous.
It sure does.
Yeah, popcorn, 10 cents.
Oh, I should ask you.
You couldn't get a kernel of corn for 10 cents now.
I know. So true. Where did you go to school growing up?
Where did I go to school? Well, first we went to public school. I went to Boise School. It was called Boise School then, which is the same school that I volunteered at. It's Boise Elliott Humboldt now, but at that time I went there kindergarten through the third grade. And then we became Catholic. My parents met these Catholic boy and girls, and they were married to two Filipino guys. And then they talked them into, talked them about being Catholic. So my parents were all baptized at the same time. And then we started going to Catholic school. We went to Aclet Heart, which is right there across from Dawson Park, the church, Aclet Heart Church, and there was a school right there behind it. We went to that. I went to the eighth grade there. Then I started high school, but I didn't finish. My sister, she left and went into the convent. She wanted to be a nun. So she later went into the convent, but it didn't work out. So that's where I went to school.
So you mentioned that eighth grade, you finished eighth grade and then you started high school. Why did you decide not to keep up with the high school?
Well, I was having problems and with math and stuff, and my mother, you know, because she didn't have an education, she couldn't help me, and my grandmother couldn't help me. So at that time my mother was in the middle of divorce and stuff, I tried to talk to them, nobody was interested, so I just dropped out of school. I started working.
Where was
doing
your first
domestic work?
Oh, doing domestic work?
Mm-hmm. Working in people's homes.
Let's see, I had a question and I lost it. Give me just a second here, Ida. So then I want to kind of keep going with this timeline of your growing up years, and you were talking about living in Vanport for the first time with your mother and her then husband. So after their marriage broke up, where did you and your mother go?
Back to my grandmother's. Yeah, grandma was always there. Grandma and grandpa take us in. And my mother was working shipyard, and she met Oscar Johnson in the shipyard, and then they got married. You know, they lived in Vanport until the flood.
Oh, so your mother married Oscar Johnson and then moved in with him into Vanport. And so who all lived there, and how big was the place that you lived in?
My stepdad, Oscar, my mother, myself and my three stepbrothers and my stepsister, we all lived there in Davenport. We lived in a unit downstairs because there's upstairs unit and downstairs unit. We lived downstairs.
And who kind of stayed where? Because those units weren't too big, were they? I think, how many bedrooms were in the unit?
We had a two-bedroom. So the boys had one room, and my parents had the other one, and my stepsister and I slept on the couch, which made into a bed. Yeah. We shared a bed.
How did you feel about having this new big family?
How did I feel about what?
How did you feel about the new big family that you became a part of when your mother and Oscar got married?
Oh, I liked it. I liked it having brothers and sisters. Because my mother always wanted more children and she couldn't have them, you know. So I enjoy it. My sister, she stayed in with grandma and grandpa, and I stayed with my mom all the time.
And I think the next, we'll get into the flood the next interview, because I definitely have questions about that. But I think I will have one last question for you here, and that's just basically that I know you've done some really fantastic research into your family history, and that you discovered a lot of things in doing that, a lot of things that you had no idea were the case, right? Like right. About Harry Lee and your grandmother. Right. So what got you interested in researching your family history? And I guess, what kind of questions did you have going into it?
What kind of questions are what?
Did you have going into researching your family history?
Well, I was just, you know, wanted to know what was, you know, what about my grandmother and Shampoo of Oregon and about her parents and see if I could find out something about my father, but I haven't been successful in finding out anything about my grandfather. So, and then I was trying to find out about my father's mother. And
yeah, I bet it's hard, especially to research your grandfather, because his last name is Smith. And that's a pretty common name.
Yeah, especially John Smith. John. When I say my mother's name, big name was Ida Smith, you know, people think, you know, Ida Smith, well, are you sure that was her name, or are you just making that up?
Yeah.
You know, Smith and Jones and whatever, they're just common names.
Yep, it's true. Well, Ida, I think that's about all of the questions that I have for you today. So unless there's anything else you'd like to talk about before the interview ends, we'll stop it here and pick it up next time.
Yeah, okay.
Does that sound all right?
Sounds okay to me.
All right, thanks, Ida. I'm going to stop the recording now, but we can stay on and talk for a minute.
Okay.
You have time.